Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the Ten Commandments. Today we shall look at commandment number 8, one of the easiest commandments to remember, thou shalt not steal. The number 8 looks like a pair of handcuffs. So every time you think of a pair of handcuffs, you think of commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. Stealing is more than just being caught by the police. It includes robbery, stealing, of course, cheating, fraud, all kinds of criminal acts that may land a person in prison. But we must understand that it cannot be limited to only what man may find in us and catch us. Because if that is the case, then this would be one of the easiest commandments to obey. Because most of us have not landed ourselves in prison, because the government has not caught us stealing, or even if they do, they do not see it as serious enough to land us in prison. The Bible sees stealing as more than just being caught as a criminal. Kidnapping, of course, is a criminal act, but that is stealing a person. And if you look at the civil law of the Old Testament, the penalty is death. You steal a sheep, you kill it, sold it, you're caught, you pay 4 sheep. You steal an ox, you kill it, you're caught, you pay 5 oxen. So it depends on what you steal, the casuistic or the case-by-case application of this commandment will result in different kinds of penalty. Stealing a person is death. Stealing an ox, 5 oxen. Stealing a sheep, 4 sheep. But stealing is wrong. Even if you are in need, the people may not despise you because you have stolen out of a very, very dire state and condition of starvation, for example. But the moment you are caught, you are still penalized according to the law of God. You still have to bring offerings in repentance to God Most High, even though you may have stolen out of starvation. Stealing is wrong always, just like all the rest of the other 9 commandments. There are no exceptions. And therefore, for us as believers, we must extend and understand this stealing to include anyone who borrows something without returning. That is stealing. There are those who borrow money and you do not want to return, and you hope that that person may have forgotten it. That is stealing. You may not have been caught, you may not land yourself in prison, but that is stealing. You attend an appointment late, especially when you do so on purpose. You have stolen the person's time. That person just waited there for you for 30 minutes, and that 30 minutes of his life, he could have been somewhere else, but he just simply waited for you because you couldn't care very much for punctuality. We also can be caught and charged for stealing when it comes to not giving to others what is to be rendered to others. Our service. God has blessed us with spiritual gifts, and we do not serve. We just don't care. For whatever reason, we may be frightened or afraid. This life that you have lived, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a life to be shared with others. That's why the Lord has not taken you home to heaven. You and I know that heaven is a far better place. Home is a place in heaven where it is perfect, where there is no death, where there is no attack, no sinners, no disease, none of those things. You are home, you are safe. But the Lord, after salvation, allow you to remain in this world where, through our study of the enemy of the church, of the Christian, we know that the roaring lion, that is the devil, is seeking, ever ready to pounce on us to attack us. The God of this world is in control of the world out there, outside the church. Why would God put us in such a terrible, dangerous situation? There is a reason, there is a purpose. And you are to be a witness for Christ, and you are to be a blessing to brothers and sisters in Christ when you are expected to do this by God's command, and you do not. That is also considered as stealing because you do not render to that which you are supposed to render. Just like our tithe and offering. As children of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, try your utmost never to attend a worship, never attend a service empty-handed. Always come with a gift of thanksgiving to God for all that the Lord has done in our lives that are innumerable. You can't count. You and I travel, the Lord protects us. You plan and do many, many things, and sometimes you fail to plan. But the Lord's providential care over our lives has taken care of all those things that we are not even aware of. The Lord had been protecting us, keeping us in ways and means that we are oblivious of, just like the Lord protected Israel when Balak, the king of Moab, commanded Balaam to curse Israel. That entire episode that lasted many chapters, Israel was completely oblivious. But the Lord kept on causing Balaam to bless Israel instead of cursing Israel. No matter how hard he tried, he was not able to curse Israel. You think no one is trying to destroy your witness? You think no one is trying to destroy this church? The devil will always try his best to destroy you and me, our witness for Christ, to drag us down into sin so that our lives of holiness and witness that you have spent many years of your life to build up since the day you accepted Christ. He wants to destroy it. He will not stop. And sometimes when you and I have been unfaithful, we let our guard down, we have been a little careless. And yet, O Lord, by His grace and His mercy, do we not realize that it is only by His grace and mercy that we have not fallen, that the Lord has kept us. So we have much to thank God for. And that's why we give of our tithe and offering, as an expression of our gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. Because as a Christian, the least important thing in our lives would be our substance. You know that. Not your family, not people. People, their soul, can end up in heaven or in hell. The substance that we have, every square inch of it, every grain of it, they are made of the dust of the ground. Money, all these material things, they should be the least important in the believer's life. Of course, to the world, it is the most important. To the world, materialism is the heart and soul of what the world is. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the people of the world. They can't see. They think that the successful life is measured by how large a bank account you have, how big a house you have, how expensive your clothing are, how expensive your food is. All these things are important to the world, but to the Christian, they are the least important. Why? Because we are children of God. Our eyes have been opened, and the Lord has commanded us. Once upon a time, we were all thieves. That's what Ephesians 4, verse 28, the verse that we memorize, teaches us. As unbelievers, the Bible said, let him that stole, that's what we were. All of us, we have stolen in one way or another. We have stolen from God. He created us and we did not give him anything because we could not. Everything about us were filled with sin. We have stolen from him and we have stolen from others. We have stolen from governments, from authorities. We have stolen at the workplace. We have stolen so many times when we were unbelievers, and that's why the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. A Christian must never, never steal. We have to stop stealing. That's the mark of a Christian. Ephesians 4 describes the marks of a believer, and this is one of them. And as Christians, we have to be hardworking. We should give instead of taking, instead of stealing. We should be generous. We should work hard so that we have something to give to those who are in need, to those who are around us, who need help. We have to give. You can't give if you are not hardworking. That's why as believers, we must always do our best in whatever we lay our hands to do. And to do that, we cannot steal. We have to stop stealing. Be punctual. Do your best. We're not saying that you will be perfect. Perfection is not the basis. Holiness is. Try to be punctual. Try to give to everybody what you borrow. Give back to them. Owe no man anything except the debt of love. If you have to pay tax cheerfully. You live in a country where the taxation is enormously high, give. Remember, to the Christian, materialism is the least important. Please understand this. If you cannot understand this and accept this, you will always struggle. And you will be tempted to steal, to cut corners here and there. To take a little bit here, take a little bit there, and you might even use the law of man to soothe your conscience. Do not steal, because we are children of God. We are Christians. Give tax. Whatever that is due, we give to the authorities. Tribute to whom tribute. Tax, you pay tax. Whatever it is, this is found in Romans chapter 13 as a reminder. I remember we touched on this many, many years ago. And you must remember this. God has placed us in this country. And whatever tax that we have to give, we give. Happily, cheerfully, honestly. Because why? We are children of God. Our witness, our testimony must be based upon clean hands and pure hearts. And they go together. You cannot have clean hands without a pure heart. All those who have pure heart must have clean hands. And the purity of heart is through Christ. And that's why as Christians, we must never steal. If we ever do, we make whatever restitution. You owe people something, the moment you borrow, that debt will weigh heavily in your heart and in your mind. The moment you have the money, you must give. You must give. Do your best to return. We all live in debt, in one way or another. That is our society that we are living in. Right? Most of our homes are borrowed. Are based on borrowed money, because we don't have that kind of money to pay and buy a house. And so we borrow from banks. We borrow from people. And so you must pay to the best of your ability to have a good, clear conscience as you pray, as you serve, as you witness for Christ. Try to get yourself out of debt. Don't live based upon the principles and the philosophies of borrowing. Banks like to call you up and ask you, do you want to borrow some money? Why do they do that? Why don't they just call and give you some money? What do they ask you to borrow, right? You think there is no strings attached? When you have an account with them and your name is not on the borrow list, they will call you up and they want you to be in debt to them. And they will tell you all kinds of nice little perks. This and that. Transfer your debt from one bank to another bank. Why do they do that? Why do they want to put us in debt? That is the way of the world. We are not of the world. We are children of God. Get yourself out of debt as soon as possible. Don't live based upon a debt-filled life. You may be very comfortable with that because the society is like that. They live on things they do not have. That is the stocks and shares mentality. Thinking that this company will be this and that, will increase in value 5 years, 10 years from now, so you buy the stocks and shares, hoping that it will. You are thinking about something in the future that is beyond your control. You are not living based upon today. This company today has only so much. But you think that in anticipation of 5, 10 years down the road, this company's resources and value may double or triple. And therefore, you buy this and buy that. That kind of mentality is dangerous. Because it doesn't just simply stop there. It affects everything about your way of life. Living based upon something you do not have. You have a dollar, you spend no more than 90 cents. 10% give to the Lord. You have $10, you spend no more than $9. Live a life that is as much debt-free as possible. The world will not like you for that. The world wants you to be debt-filled, filled with full of debt. They will not stop. They will continue to call you and tempt you and seduce you. And we have to make sure that we are not, I'm not sure whether this word is in the English language, seducible. Make sure we are not seducible. We cannot be seduced by the world. How to do that? Working hard is one of the ways. Keep yourself busy so that you will not steal. The answer is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. How to protect ourselves from falling into this sin of stealing. We must not steal. How to do that? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 11. First and foremost, please understand that we were once thieves. We must now steal no more. Mark of a Christian. To protect ourselves, the Bible says the true wealth of the Christian is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the cure, the protection. Be godly and be very contented, be very satisfied with godliness. And that, the Bible says, is of great value. Do you see godliness with contentment as something that is of great value in your life? As a child of God, this is our new desire. Do you see godliness? What is godliness? That means to be more and more like Christ. To be more and more like God. Holiness means to be less and less like the world. Coupled with godliness means to be more and more like God. To be godlike. That's what it means. Very simple. To be godlike. And you do so with joy, with full satisfaction. Now once you have that, do you know that the world's seduction will lose its glitter? The pull of that magnet of the world will suddenly stop. The moment you become less godly, that means you become more like the world, the stronger will be the attraction. That is why God allows us sometimes to face adversities in life. That is why sometimes we fall sick. Because when you fall sick, the body will suddenly lose its joy in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You talk to a person in hospital, hovering between life and death. You think he is thinking about his holiday? You think he's thinking about his bank account when he's hovering between life and death? You talk to a person who is in his evening years, who is in his 80s, not feeling very well, sickly most of the time. You think he's thinking about his future for the next 10, 20 years? This kind of thinking of 10, 20 years, 30 years belong to the teenagers. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes have gone strangely dim. The desire for the flesh, the desires of the eyes have just suddenly lost its attraction. Why? Because once your body becomes weak and tired, you don't feel like eating. All the desires of the flesh and the eyes will just simply dissipate. When you are so sickly and tired in bed, I'm sure all of us have felt that way before. When you have the flu, your bones are aching, you're shivering, all you want to do is to sleep and lie in bed. When someone asks you, let's come for lunch, you don't want to eat. You don't feel like doing anything other than to just lie in bed and shivering and praying to God for the fever to be taken away from you. You think you bother about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life when you are like that? Your bones are aching, your body is shivering. And that's why God allows us to have this glimpse of what death is like. Very close to death. And then the Lord healed us. And then we forget. And then suddenly when you are healthy and strong, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life becomes very forceful once more. True? The people who enjoy the life of the world are people who are healthy and strong. When you are not strong, when you are not healthy, there is nothing the world can offer you that will bring joy. You think you want to eat the best food when your tongue can't taste anything? You think you want to live in the most expensive hotel when your whole body is aching and your pain is so intense that no amount of morphine can ease even a little bit of the pain? That's why the Lord allowed all these things to happen to us in a very mild way for those who are in chronic cases. Continue to trust in Him. You suddenly can realize the futility of what the world offers you. That's why don't steal. How? Be godly. Be very thankful and satisfied that you are a child of God, that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, and your last enemy, death, has been taken away from your life. That in Christ Jesus, you have everything that you want in this life, because Christ is everything. And if Christ is everything to me, everything else becomes nothing. It's not Christ plus. It's Christ alone. That's it. Because everything else can be taken away from you, including your family, but not Christ. And if you are not thankful for that alone, you will continue to steal, because the world will continue to succeed in seducing you in order to keep ourselves from not being seduced by the world. Be godly. Be very thankful that you are a child of God. Are you? That's why when we come to the Lord's house every Lord's Day, we sing from our hearts. We praise the Lord with understanding, with concentration, because we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because we love Him. Because the Lord has been so good to me. Every moment of every day, the Lord is near us. If this is your experience, you thank God that you are truly a child of God. You love Him because for the past week, you have been praying, you've been reading God's word, you've been walking in the light, you've been trusting in Him, and whenever you stumble and fall, you repent of your sin and the Lord has returned to you in peace, in forgiveness, and you experience all these. Such a life of a believer, you don't have to drag him to church. He can't wait for the Lord's day to come. He can't wait to be with God's people, praising and worshiping the Lord, because he had been with God, his heavenly Father, by himself in the world, serving and witnessing for the Lord. And now he is with God's family, God's people, God's children, praising the Lord with one voice, which he is not able to do outside in the world. He praises alone. He worships alone. He serves alone. But now in God's house, with God's people, every Lord's Day, that is always the best day of every week of his life. And he loves it. Godliness. With great satisfaction, contentment, and the Bible says that is of great value. Now if you do not see this as great value, you're not going to be bothered by it. You're going to let the world to invade and come in. And so the Lord reminds us of what? Of the day you were born. Verse 7. Remember, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, guarantee, we carry nothing out. Naked we came, naked we leave. Don't forget that. Accept what you do in Christ. The Bible says, when a servant of the Lord is taken home to glory, all that he has done for Christ will follow him. But everything else that is in the world, that the world offers you, please understand, you can't carry one grain of sand out of this world with you. So don't love the things of the world. Don't love your car, your house, more than what the Bible has taught us. Christ, people, your family, your life, God's work, God's people. These are the things, these are the people that you should love, not the things of the world. You can lose them and you have lost nothing. But don't lose your soul. Don't lose your children. Don't lose your family. Don't lose your holy witness. Don't lose things that matter for eternity. Everything else, of the world that is temporal, including the praises of men. You think your PSLE results are very important to God? It's not the result, it's how you have studied. If you have been praying, you have grown in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have passed. What you gave from PSLE is irrelevant as far as God is concerned. The end result is not whether you get the top of your class or the bottom or the middle. It's not important. It's whether you have been drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ as a student. When you study, have you been praying? Have you grown in the Lord? Have you learned to trust Him through the process? That is where the real value is. Same for those who are taking O-level, A-level, whatever test, whatever exam, including all of us who are working out in the world. It's the same thing. You may get that big multi-million dollar, billion dollar project, but in the course of it, you have been a terrible witness. The colleagues around you have not seen Christ in your life. They don't even know that you're a Christian. You have not been praying. You have not been trusting. You use all your own ideas and wisdom and all your experience to get things done where Christ is not even in your life. You think that is a wonderful success? That is a big fat failure. As far as the world is concerned, you've got a multi-billion dollar project. That's success. But as far as God is concerned, His child has failed. He has not been praying. He has not been trusting. He has not been drawn closer to me through it all. He has been drawn closer to the world through it all. How can that be called a success? Why? Because we are God's children. Godliness with contentment is everything to us. And that's why the Lord reminds us, naked you came into the world, you can't carry anything out with you. So don't let the God of this world dupe you and deceive you. The things of the world are worthless. Only the things that are in Christ have true value. Measure things in terms of eternity. Don't measure things in terms of dollars and cents and the temporal nature of it. Let the one that you please, that you seek to please, be God, be Christ, not man, not the world. Let it be the Lord. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That's it. Our daily life. Are you very concerned about the fashion world? That you must wear a certain brand? That you are very caught up by the branded world? Because that's what you find on the internet. What is the definition of a successful person? You find it on the internet. The kind of garments you wear, the kind of fashion statements he has on his head. Don't follow the fashions of the world. They will keep on shaping you and molding you to become like the world. That's why they are called the fashions of the world. We are children of God. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable to God, not to the world. So don't let the world be your standard. Just as long as you have food and clothing, doesn't matter what brand, what kind, all these things must not be important to a child of God. As long as you have clothes to wear, as long as you have food, doesn't matter where the food is. As long as it is good, clean, consumable food, you just eat. You take pride in the fact that you can enter into the most expensive restaurant. You take pride in the fact that you can afford to eat a plate of chicken rice that costs $30,000. Now, someone said that a plate of chicken rice costs $30,000 because he's flown it from one end of America to the other end, private jet. Just to eat that plate of chicken rice or whatever the plate of food is. You delight in the fact that you can afford to go to all these 5-star, 6-star hotel at any time without a second thought. And you think all these things are very important to you. Please, you are a child of God. These are the thinking and the ways of the world that we have to stop. Because if you do not stop, these are all the symptoms of a very serious problem that verses 9 and 10 reveal. As long as you have food and clothing, you thank God. Doesn't matter what brand. As long as you have food and clothing. Doesn't matter whether it is hawker food or not. Just food, that's it. Don't measure yourself by the kind of pen you have, by the kind of shoes you wear, by the kind of branded shirt, branded pants, all these things are for the world, the worldly people. For us, as long as you have food and clothing, the Bible says, be content. Why? Because that is how a child of God would think. Because his mind and heart is only filled all the time with things that are eternal, not the things that are temporal. The things that are temporal, he understands that they will all fade away. They are all reserved for destruction by fire. That big house, that big building, that big car, that big this and big that, reserved for destruction by fire. So why would I spend 1 ounce of my energy, 1 second of my time pursuing after these things which I know will at the end of it be destroyed by fire, because my Heavenly Father has revealed that this is going to happen and I believe him. And therefore, as a child of God, I must only focus on my godliness, and I do so with the fullness of satisfaction, the contentment that is in my heart. As long as there is food on the table, as long as there are clothes on my back, that's all that matters. The value of it, not important. That must be our heart, our mind, our soul, because otherwise the danger is there. But they that will be rich. Now the word will there is not just simply the future tense of the word will. No, this is a description of a person who has this in his mind. This is his consideration. This is his thinking. This is an act that he personally, deliberately have in his heart. Who will himself, whose ambition, whose desire. That's the word. But they that will himself, that deliberately desire to be rich, he will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lust desires. Now we all have desire. It's good to have desires, but the object of what we desire is the problem. And when the object of a desire is not of God, it is not good for you, the word lust is used in the King James translation. But when the desires are good, it will be the word desire. Like Paul says, I desire to be with Christ, but it is needful for me to remain here with you. Same word, strong desires, that's how God has made us. But the object of our strong desire is the key. And so when your desire, when your act of the will, your mind tells you that you want the world, you want to love the world, you're going to do many foolish things that will destroy your life, and you only have one life to live. If you do not believe, you talk to those who are in their golden years. Talk to those who are in the senior adults. Talk to them and let them talk to you. And they will share with you, I'm sure, many regrets. Many regrets. And I'm sure if they are given another life to live through it again, they are going to make many, many changes. Because for them, especially those who are very, very well off, they spend a ton of their energy and their time pursuing after all these things and very little for Christ. If that has been their lives, you talk to them. They're going to regret it. And there's nothing they could do other than just to regret it. And ask God for forgiveness and that's it. Maybe one good thing they can do out of it is to tell the young people. Share with the young people their mistakes. So that the young people will open their eyes. And don't the young people be foolish enough to say that, well, this is not going to happen to me. I'm smarter and wiser. Tell them that you thought that way too when you were their age. And you were not smarter and you were not wiser. Tell them that as well. Maybe that is the good thing that you can share with the young people to let them know, because their lives are ahead of them, whereas your life has been lived and is behind you. Many, many foolish and hurtful lusts. Foolish and hurtful. You do not believe? You ask the spouse and the children of these men who work very hard, away from home most of the time. You ask the spouse and the children how much time the father spent with them. Not material things that they give to them. How much time? How much do they know about father? When the father is taken home, watch and listen to how the children share the eulogy. They are trying to think and crack their brain something nice to say about dad. It will reveal a whole lot A whole lot. They don't want to lie. And so they crack their brain to think of something nice to say about that. And if they are in their 50s, their children in their 50s, and the dad is taken home, and he is in his 70s and 80s. And all the child could say is, oh, my dad was there when I was 6 years old. He made me my pancake. It was so delicious. And that's it. You mean from 50 plus to 6, all these 40 over years, you can't think of anything good that dad had done in your life that you have to crack your brain and go all the way back to only when you were 6 years old, nothing in between? Dad was not around. A lot of foolish and hurtful desires. You hurt people's lives. You hurt the testimony of Christ. You hurt your loved ones. Those who are closest to you will pay the heaviest price. I'm sure I'm not talking to people who are not aware of what I'm talking about. I'm sure some of you can identify with what I'm saying. Foolish and hurtful lust. And drown the man in destruction and perdition. They get drowned by it. They are so consumed by it. Because some things in the world, once you are sucked in, you know how hard it is to get out. You know how difficult it is to get out. This is your life's work. You can't get out. Sometimes you ask yourself, who owns what? You own your company or the company owns you? The founder of all these big multi-billion dollar organizations, whatever they are, you think it's easy for them to just simply turn their back and walk out? They are all public listed, stocks and shares. If they do not put in some kind of program, or they already allow another person younger than them, 30 years younger than them, to head the organization, and they are still running it, you think suddenly he just walk out, walk away, and the stocks and shares of that multi-billion dollar company is not going to fall because of uncertainty? Who is going to be the leader? He just simply walk out. He dare not, he cannot, because the stocks and shares may plunge and the value that he thinks he has can suddenly evaporate, because it's not real value. It's what all people think, that this company is worth so many billions 10, 20, 30 years from now. But in the present, it's not worth even half or even less. And so he dare not just simply turn his back and walk away. This is his baby since he has founded when he was 18 years old, and now he is nearly 80 years old. He can't just simply let go. So who owns who? Is it a company who is the master and he is the slave? Or he is the master and the company the slave? He is the slave. He is not the master. And now all the years of his life, when he look back, all he has is just dollars and cents and this company. But is it done for Christ? Zero. No time. Because this kind of company that is worth so many billions of dollars, they took up all his time, day and night, not even at home. Travel here, travel there, because these companies are found all over the world. He's drowned in destruction and perdition. And some of them even fall into sin. Other women, adultery. They have money. They are lonely. Family is not around. No longer close to a wife. Definitely not close to the children. All the children care about is to live their own lives now, and they have tons and tons of money, more than they could ever live by. Because dad is a multi-billionaire, and he has given to us all that we need. And you think the children are also very close to Christ? If there is anyone who are close to Christ, it's only by God's grace and mercy, because the way it has been, dad was only a professing believer. Mom is just a lonely mother trying her best to look after the children. Their children are now grown up in the silver platinum spoon in their mouth. And all they care about are more worldly things, because dad has provided them and surrounded them with worldly things. Never fly anything less than first class. Do not know what it is to eat in a hawker center. All they care about are all these restaurant food in all these 5-star, 6-star hotels, because that's their life since birth. You think that is a good life? Drown man in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Oh, erred from the faith, that means some could even be professing believers, even true believers. and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And all they have at the end of their life is just one big bag of sorrows and pain and tears. And it all because they wanted the things of the world and they have stolen from God. The time that they could have spent serving the Lord have all been given to the world, to the God of this world. Godliness with contentment is great value. And that will protect us from stealing. Is this of great value to you, brothers and sisters in Christ? If you are truly born again in Christ, don't steal. It's not just an act of your will. Your act of your will is not good enough. You have to have something to take place that will give your desire that strength. Because we are people of desires. You cannot have no desire. Passion. We must have passion. That's why those who love the world, they are so passionate for the things of the world. They are prepared to devote their lives. They work 10, 15 hours a day just for the things of the world. And they are very hardworking because they are so caught up and so passionate about it. We have to have a passion for the right things in order to maintain our godliness all the days of our lives. And that's what verse 11 tells us. But thou, O man of God, you have to flee all these things. You have to run in the opposite direction from all these things, from the world. That is step number one. You have to run away from them. They will keep on calling you, keep on trying to suck you in. Regardless of your age, you have to be strong in the Lord. The period where they will pull you, where you will feel the attraction the strongest, is not in your golden years. It's not even in your senior adult age. The age where you will experience the strongest pull from the world is when you are in your 20s and 30s and 40s in Singapore. In Singapore, the 20s, the 30s and the 40s, because that's where you begin to have a life as a young family with young children, where you want a lot of material things in life. And that's where the pull of the world will be the strongest. You don't believe? Ask those who are already Christians when they were that age who are now in their golden years. You can even see for yourself. You can observe and look. That's where the pull will be the strongest, and that's where you have to go the opposite direction, the fastest and the farthest. And then you run after. The word follow after sometimes is translated as the word persecute. In this context, it is to pursue something until you get it, you will not stop running for it. That's the meaning of the word follow after. And you keep on doing it all the days of your life. Just like you have to run away from the world all the days of your life and run toward what? Run toward first godliness. Sorry, righteousness. Do everything that is right. No stealing. Run toward righteousness. Do everything that is right according to the Bible. No situational ethics. Only do what is right and trust God to take care of the consequence. No matter how the consequence might appear very painful and negative, you have to do what is right. That's righteousness according to the scriptures, and then godliness. Pursue after godliness to become more and more like Christ in prayer, in the study of God's word, in devotion, in service, all these things, you run toward it. Build up your faith. Read God's word. Understand God's word. Be more faithful. Believe in God. Know God better. Know Christ better. Know the Holy Spirit better. Know the things of the Bible better. The church. That's why this past few months at the Sunset Gospel Hour, we talk about know your God. Know your Savior, know the Holy Spirit, know your enemies, and God willing, for the new quarter of 2019, know your church, and then know yourself, know the Word of God. All these things will help you to become more and more like Christ, which is the same as to be more godly, because Christ is God. Jesus, did He not say, those who have seen Me have seen the Father? To be more like Christ means to be more godly. And how to be more like Christ? You go to study the Bible so that you can have faith. Faith means to trust. You can't trust a stranger. The more you know God, the more you know Christ, the easier and deeper will your faith and your trust in Him be. You know that. You have experienced this. Why is it that children do not trust dad? Because dad is a stranger. The more they know you, the more you spend time with them, the more they can trust you. The more your word means something because you share your life with them. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. It's the same with our Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith and your trust cannot be based upon minimal knowledge of God's word. The more you know God's word, the more you know God, the more you know Christ, the more you will trust, the more you will have faith. And then love, agape love. Guard your love for the Lord, because the stronger you love Him, the stronger you love others. The deeper you love Him, the less you love the world, the more you love God's people and the eternal things. And be patient. Patience means you let God take care of your life. Good or bad, adverse or otherwise, it does not matter. Whatever the Lord gives to you, you be patient and you endure and persevere to the end. And always do so with humility. That's meekness. No longer your will, no longer what I want. It's always what God wants in my life. Now this is the protection that will help us continue to obey commandment number 8. Thou shalt not steal. It's more than just, I tell myself not to steal. Not good enough. Not good enough, because the circumstances of life will change and you may find yourself in a very difficult situation, a very serious need in your family, in yourself, that may tempt you. The protection, the solution in keeping us away from breaking this commandment is godliness with contentment. And you must see this as of great value to you. If it is not of great value, you're not going to seek after it. Because it will protect you from this commandment, from not breaking it. Godliness with contentment. And only Christians can do that. Remember, naked we came into this world, naked we leave. Be thankful that you have food and clothing. That's all it takes. Don't care about the fashion. Don't worry about the fashion of the world. That is what the world clamors for. That is something that God's children must not clamor for. And remember, if you don't listen, your desire will be for the love of the world. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And many have been drowned because of their destruction and the perdition of the life that they have lived. And they have wasted it. But you, men of God, flee from these things and run toward God. In righteousness, in godliness, in faith, in love, in patience, in meekness. And you will be able to obey this commandment, thou shalt not steal. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for Christ. For it's only in Him and through Him, O Lord, that we can obey this commandment, thou shalt not steal, because You have made us to be people with strong desires. Help us, O Lord, to count godliness with contentment as of greatest value in our lives as children of the Most High God. And help us therefore to not lose sight of this goal that we all must attain, to be more and more like Christ with every passing day of our lives on this earth, until one day when we are given the glorified body, for we will be truly like Christ, not only in heart, in desire, but also in body, in the glorified body that the Lord Jesus Christ had attained for us when He rose from the dead for our justification. Help us, O Lord, as Thy blood-bought children, that we will seek after godliness and with contentment, with full 100% satisfaction in our soul, that we may learn to flee from the things of the world every day, all the days of our lives, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and do so in meekness. For this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire. For our lives must be lived only for our Savior and for Thy glory. Help us. Help all Your children, O Lord, especially in these last days, that the attractions of the world will truly grow strangely dim and the things of eternity will only occupy the heart and mind and soul of all Your children. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.